If you're tired of living under the burden of debt, stay tuned. Biblical Solutions for Financial Freedom starts now. And here's your host, CEO and Chief Counsel of the Alliance Legal Group and Director of Christian Rights Ministries, Steve Taylor.
Good afternoon, Hampton Roads. This is Steve Taylor, and this is Biblical Solutions for Financial Freedom. And it's wonderful to be here. Good afternoon, Colleen.
Wonderful to be here as well. Thank you, Steve. Thank you for coming along, and thank you for joining us, listeners.
Well, yeah, I thank them too. That the the Lord is a good and great Lord, isn't He?
He is. It's a good day,
and it is a good day. You know, He woke us up and He gave us a heart to worship Him. He permitted us another day that we could serve Him. You know, it's a wonderful day, and so it's good having you here. This is a radio program that has a call-in format, and that we welcome your phone calls today. The phone number that you can reach us during this next half hour is 757-488-5299. I am Steve Taylor, and I have four offices in the Hampton Roads area. We do a lot of bankruptcies. We do a lot of general practice, but that the thing we talk about today is going to be how to get financially free and maybe talk about some of the alternatives as far as how to do that. Primarily bankruptcy, because that's what we do a lot of. But that if you have any questions, you have any thoughts, any comments, any just concerns, you give us a call at 757-488-5299.
And like Steve was saying, he's all throughout the Hampton Roads area. And if you aren't able to come out to one of the offices, you can always either do a phone conference or a virtual video conference as well through Zoom or one of those other platforms as well.
You know, and one of the things, I guess, probably more important than anything else is that I got saved back in 1999, gave my life to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And that if you haven't done that, then let me just tell you, it's the best decision that you can possibly make. We talk every day to folks that, the question about if they died today, whether or not they would go to heaven. People say, well, how does that fit into a law practice? Well,
they're stumped a little bit.
Well, you know, it really shouldn't stump anybody, because whether you're a plumber or whether you're a doctor, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're a radio station manager, you know, that's, if you've been saved, if you've met our Savior, if you've given your life to our Lord, then the thing that should be most interesting to you is, of greatest interest to you, is seeing other people meet the Savior, come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. And so, when I got saved in 1999, that I dedicated my law practice to the Lord, and that, ever since then, that we have a biblical mission, vision, statement to operate a Christ-centered law practice, emphasizing and relying on biblical principles in order to effectively and efficiently serve the legal and spiritual needs of our clients, our communities, and our employees, and to support His perfect will. And the reason we have this radio call-in format program is because we want to share not only how to get financially free, but that if you have any questions about how to get spiritually free, you know, that's as much or more the topic that we would like to talk about. So if that's you, then you call in today, and we'll be happy to not only hear your comments, but respond to them, and so feel free to call.
It's getting the priorities in the right place, for sure.
We are on a Thursday. I get my days right this week.
It is Thursday.
We're heading into the weekend, and lots of people are starting to see we talked about last Tuesday, about the sun's shining, the days are getting longer, the weather is getting better, and so you got these great weekend plans coming up. But let me just share this with you as well, that, you know, make Jesus your priority. You know, if you haven't been going to church, go to church. Yeah. You know, if for whatever reason that you're still, you know, in a situation with your church or with your situation that you have to, watch online or listen online, then, you know, spend some time with the Lord this weekend. You know, that's that as crazy as this world is getting, the one thing that you don't want to leave out of anything ever, but especially now, is Jesus Christ.
We're a week away from Easter, you know, and so that's, week in a couple of days, I guess, as far as that goes. And I do know here in Virginia, things are opening back up about more meetings and things like that. So that should encourage more churches. I know some churches are still not fully open. A lot of them are. A lot of them are meeting and having at least some in-person services, but that this will open up other opportunities for Bible studies and for other groups and things like that to just engage in and meet with. So that's a great opportunity. April 1st.
I heard something about like the our governor, he's opened up as far as meetings of 1,000 now or something like that.
I don't have all of that stuff in front of me. I know that social events bigger, and then graduations.
Some sort of
I'm excited about
that. He lessened his edict by a little bit the other day, I think.
Events, concerts, and things like that.
Yeah. I still haven't got my money back from Casting Crowns.
No. Well, they're probably still coming around, you know, possibly.
Yeah, well, hopefully they'll...
They were supposed to come in April, but I don't know if that's still happening.
Well, I need to call up...
figure that out.
My tickets were in.
But certainly graduations, and mostly like what we were talking about is the religious gatherings, the church services and things like that are going to be able to be happening, and, you know, weddings as well. So,
So
life moves on.
Yeah. And so that let's jump into the program today. And again, if you'd like to call us at 757-488-5299, please do. And also that you can contact me directly at our chat box on our website and the Alliance Legal Group, and that's www.debtfreeva.com. That's www.debtfreeva.com. We have a chat assistant there that will take your information, try to get a hold of me. If I'm on the radio station or if I'm with a client or something of that nature, that they'll try to contact me directly, and then if they can't get a hold of me, that we can set up a time to speak. If it's relating to, you know, qualification for bankruptcy or some other legal issue, then they'll set up a free consultation, but usually within a few minutes that we can get a pretty good idea of whether or not you qualify, whether or not it'd be the right thing for you. I've been doing this for about 30 years. We have four attorneys, and again, they're all excellent attorneys, and they all are very, very well qualified to be able to determine issues and solutions as far as your financial freedom. Okay. So we're going to
jump in.
All right. So,
what's your topic?
It's going to be, I was thinking about it this morning. I was saying, you know, what are the main reasons that people file? You know, what are, you know, that if I had to do a grab bag of issues, you know, that, and so I thought I was just going to go ahead and go through, you know, that we probably have some people driving around and we have some people at home, and you might have an issue that's different than these, but I thought we'd do like, the top seven list sort of thing. And there might be more, there might be less, but if you're in one of these seven situations, you might benefit, you know, you might just benefit from a bankruptcy sooner rather than later. And so the first one that came up that, you know, is not happening to a whole lot of folks right now because we still have the moratorium through, I believe it's September. The bank is foreclosing on your home. So we're going to bring that up because if that ever does happen, there are a lot of private lenders right now that are still doing foreclosures. If that comes, that they, once filed the automatic stay in bankruptcy, the wall of invincibility between you and your creditors, once you file that bankruptcy, it stops that. And that it prohibits creditors from, going forward on collection actions, including foreclosure. And, even if you file a Chapter 7, 7 or 13, either one of those bankruptcies will actually stop the foreclosure. For some folks that they file a Chapter 7 just because, you know, they can't afford to pay back this big arrearage that they've had accrue over the last year or so, but that they don't want to get kicked out of their house, right. And so that will still stop the foreclosure from happening. And so,
that's a big reason to move forward on something.
You know, a lot of times people say, I just can't afford to pay back this money. Sometimes though, that you can file Chapter 7 and continue the loan modification process and still end up, staying in the house. So, you know, that if you've got a foreclosure out there, if you've got a potential foreclosure, before March of last year, tons and tons of bankruptcies were filed to stop foreclosures. Now, not so many because there's not as many foreclosures. But let me tell you what, that within the next 4 or 5 months, these creditors will be filing a lot come September if there's no...
if they don't extend the stay, right?
Yeah, and so, you know, that the that's probably the big one. So, you know, that we're just going to kind of shoot through this list pretty quick, but obviously I think that's the biggest asset a person generally usually owns, and if they're behind on that, that costs a lot of sleepless nights. Understand that bankruptcy can stop and will stop a foreclosure. You've got to qualify, you know, for the 7 and for the 13, and we'll go over those qualifications with you when you call. But that's one of our strongest and best tools that we can use. And even if you don't qualify, that we've got some very good connections with a lot of professionals that can do like injunctions against the mortgage company to, you know, in state court. You know, typically we won't file the state court action to prevent the foreclosure, but we know folks that will. And so if you've got a foreclosure pending that's or something that's getting ready to happen, you know, give us a call and we'll give you the information at no cost to give you an idea of what your options are. Item number two.
All right.
Okay. Remember, you can call in if you have a question about any of these, whether or not you either qualify or don't qualify or whether you should consider it. 757-488-5299. Your lender wants to repossess your car.
Okay. Well, see, you started with a house. Now you're on the car.
Yeah. We're kind of going like from the bigger to the smaller.
Car is important. You need that car to get to and from work and back and forth and everything. Very important to have.
And the nice thing about, again, both a 7 and a 13 will stop that for that repossession. But again, remember that Chapter 13 is a mechanism where we can actually pay back arrearages, you know, the back payments. The really nice thing with Chapter 13 that the not only will it allow you to, let's say you're 4 or 5 payments behind, they're sending you the nasty letters, you're hiding the car, you know, that kind of thing. And let's say this vehicle was purchased more than 2.5 years ago. So that vehicle is subject to what they call the cram down provisions of the bankruptcy code. So let's say you got this Chevy Silverado, you know, that's Joe, let's say $25,000. Let's say, give me an easy number, $30,000. And that is only worth like, you know, $15,000, you know, because it's, you know, it's like 5 years old. You bought it like 2.5 years ago. And you still owe $30,000 on that really nice vehicle, but it's really probably only worth 15, maybe 20. So let's say 20, say $20,000. And so, but you're 4 or 5 payments behind because these $500 a month payments are killing you. Yeah. And you owe $25 and say, if you don't turn the vehicle over, we're going to come and take it. So you file Chapter 13. Let's just say that's your only debt. Okay. Let's just say to make it easy. Let's say you have $100,000. Let's say you have $50,000 worth of credit card debt and another $50,000 worth of medical bills.
Wow.
You know, and let's say you have another $10,000 worth of tolls. I mean, you got a lot of debts. The reason you're not paying these bills is because you don't have money. Everybody's coming after you. So let's just say between those three other types of debts, tolls and credit cards and, you know, the One Main and the First Virginia Finance companies, you got $100,000 worth of debt, $10,000 worth of toll, just crazy numbers. You got $100,000 worth of debt, and you got this vehicle. You got this vehicle that you owe $30,000, and it's only worth $20,000. Well, what? And it's more than 2.5 years old. So that we do the cram down. And let's say you got a, let's say, we won't say the name of the finance company, but there's some really crazy ones out there, and you got a 19.9% mm-hmm. interest rate. Mm-hmm. You know, that's killing you.
That's high.
So what we do is we say, all right, let's say that you're struggling by, you can make your car payment just barely. And so we say, all right, let's see what we can do. And so we take this $30,000 debt that you owe that's only worth $20,000, we put that in the plan, okay, that over the next 5 years, that we'll have a plan to pay it off, that they're going to put about, you're going to pay about $1,000 up front, probably about $4,000 inside the plan to pay your attorney over the next 5 years. So you got this $30,000 view, you're only going to pay $20,000 for it because that's all it's worth. So you get $20,000 plus the $4,000 attorney's fee. So that's $24,000, right? You got $24,000 now. And then the trustee is going to get about 10%. Well, let's say this, the $100,000, we're going to give them 1% because that's all the money that you have in this particular case. So that's $1,000. So you're up to $25,000. You got $20,000 for the vehicle. You got $4,000 for the attorney, and then you got $1,000 for the creditors, $25,000, and that the trustee is going to get about 10%, so that's $2,500. Mm-hmm. So that's $27,500. Now, you don't have to be a whiz mathematician to do this. The 5 years divided by $30,000 would be $500 a month. Mm-hmm. So the $500 a month payment that you're making for your car, now, again, that's $27,500 is the actual number, but if it was $30,000, it'd be about a $500 payment. Mm-hmm. The $500 payment that you're supposed to be making for that vehicle that's way behind right now is the payment that you would have to make for the next 60 payments, the next 5 years, but that would discharge at the end of the 5 years your vehicle payment. So you'd have you'd be caught up. You're not 5 months behind your vehicle anymore. You'd have the vehicle paid off. We'd probably give you about a 3.5% or 4.5% interest rate, not a 20% interest rate. So let's say a 4.5% interest rate that the person would have the vehicle paid off after the 5 years of payments of $500, that he would have all the $100,000, whether it be tolls or whether it be credit cards or whether it be medical bills or whether it be the One Main Finance or the First Virginia Finance or the payday loan, all those would be discharged as well. So all of a sudden, you know, this person was having a hard time making their $500 payment, can make the $500 payment and not have all the rest of these bills, keep the car, be current, get rid of all their other bills, have a decent, you know, interest rate on the vehicle, and get a fresh start. So, you know, that's a second big reason why people file bankruptcy, because their car is in trouble. They'd like to keep this nice Silverado, you know, but they can't because they have all these other bills. So that would be probably number two. That'd be the number two on the list. A pretty good reason.
That's a good reason, too.
Get rid of $100,000 bills and pay $500 amount and get caught up.
I was
going
to say, I didn't realize that they could kind of lump it all into a monthly payment like that either.
One plan payment. And you know what's really nice is that, you know, this other person that does this, you know, can you imagine all the creditors, and one payment comes out of your bank account once a month. You don't have to deal with it.
I mean, it just eases your mind with that, too. Again, we've talked about this before. It's how overwhelming it is to have to deal with people. And then you have all of these people coming at you. And if you can kind of forget about that and consolidate that, you will be much freer spiritually.
Absolutely.
As well as emotionally and physically and everything else, too.
All right. So number three. So we talked about the house foreclosure. We talked about the car repossession, landlord eviction.
So, another, so if you're renting.
You're behind on your payments. You know, as of the end of this month, the moratorium on evictions is ending.
Okay.
So that was a CDC, Center for Disease Control thing with this COVID thing that they had done. But that's over. And so you get a lot of court dates for April now. And again, now with a Chapter 13, it's not going to do you any. You can't pay back the arrearage in a 13 for a lease. However, one, it could stop the immediate eviction. And two, with a Chapter 7, you can discharge that back debt and get you a little bit of time to, because when you go to court and you say, I filed bankruptcy, the judge is going to say, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Landlord, that there's an automatic stay. United States Bankruptcy Court, federal jurisdiction has put this automatic stay on further collection activities. You're going to have to go through the bankruptcy court in order to get a relief from the stay. You're going to file a motion and do whatever you got to do in order to get the court. The court's going to grant that likely because, you know, the landlord's entitled to the property, but that it prevents the immediate eviction and the immediate action against that person that's trying to reorganize their life. Sometimes we do a Chapter 13, sometimes we do a 7. Usually it's a 7 because usually this tenant usually doesn't have any money, and so that they can get enough money up together to, again, not only stop the eviction for this month, they're going to probably be in there a little bit of time too. They'll be in there at least the next, you know, who knows, but at least the next 30 days or so it's going to take for
give them some time
the
to
process
reorganize.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course this debt that they owe is going to be discharged. So that's a big one. As number three, it would be there's an eviction coming up. And similarly, there's a lawsuit. So the number four would be there's a lawsuit against you.
Okay.
A lawsuit.
You're going to court, most likely.
There's a court date. In fact, you know that we survey the various courts in the Hampton Roads area, and we come up with names. We just find out court dates that are on the calendar, whether it be for a lawsuit or we're going to talk about another thing, and maybe even more so. Maybe I should have put lawsuit kind of like number, what is that, 5, and maybe number 4 should have been garnishment. Because I think probably garnishment would be 4 and then lawsuit would be 5. Because what happens in the process is that a lawsuit is initiated by the creditor that says that the person owes them money. A judgment occurs in those cases where the creditor prevails. And then after that, collection activities commence, usually being a garnishment or a lien against a bank account or a lien, you know, against the person's paycheck. It's called a garnishment. And there's this court date that's set up when they do this garnishment. It's called a return date, and it's usually up in the upper right-hand corner of the piece of paper that you get. It's called a suggestion and garnishment. Your employer gets one, and you get one, and that they start taking money out 25% per pay period until that court date occurs.
Right.
And if that court date occurs, that court date, what it's all set up for is that court date, your employer starts sending money to the, takes money out of your paycheck and send it to the court. And then when this court date, this return date occurs, that if you don't have a defense about why the creditor shouldn't get the money, the creditor gets the money. Of course, the best defense that I can think of generally, usually, or the one that we often use is, Mr. Judge or Mrs. Judge, the debtor, this particular individual has filed bankruptcy. And then the judge will tell the creditor, I'm sorry, Mr. or Mrs. Creditor, that you can't have the money because they filed bankruptcy, and that we send the money to the trustee. The trustee will take a look at it, see that it's exempted, and then usually give it back to the debtor, the person that we filed the bankruptcy for. So people like to get their money back, and also that they will have sometimes liens against their bank account, that if when this return date happens, that if they don't file the bankruptcy, then they lose the money that's in the bank account. So it releases the lien against the bank, as well as gets money stopped from being taken out of their bank account, their check, their paycheck.
Their wages.
And then we get the money back. And so that's probably even a bigger incentive for people to file than the lawsuit, which is, again, I think we're up to 5 now, right?
Number 5.
So that's the lawsuit.
Okay.
That's the lawsuit that happens, that then the garnishment occurs. But, you know, most people, I'm just telling you, because I get served for my clients all the time. You know, I'm the registered agent for a lot of companies. And the amount of grief and the amount of, you know, it's not fun being sued.
No.
And you get that piece of paper, you know, served by the sheriff or by the process server, you know, your heart just drops from, you know, up here down to your tummy. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that's usually a pretty good incentive to say, maybe I just need to get rid of this bill. Yeah. You know, I just need to get rid of this bill. And so before, you know, bless their hearts, the people that are getting garnished went through that, you know, for what, sometimes they don't. Sometimes, you know, the creditor serves them papers they never receive. That's a different story, and we can deal with that in a different segment. But that most people end up knowing that they got this problem. It gets to the point where they either that they fought, you know, I fought the law, but the law won. So they said, well, I just got this judgment now. It's messing up my credit and all this kind of stuff. But that you don't do nothing about it. The next thing, round 2 happens, and they're getting garnished. So, you know, people get kind of discouraged over a period of time. They're saying, you know, all my cards are falling down.
Yeah.
So a good way to stop the initial thing from happening is, or at least at the point where they start suing you, is to get the bankruptcy when you get the paper saying that you got a lawsuit.
Hmm.
So I think that's 5, and we only got 7 minutes left, so we're going to finish in time, it looks like. The last 2 that I thought of was that, you know, that whatever maybe you're getting the stimulus check, maybe you're not employed and that kind of thing, but you're thinking about getting a really high-paying job. Now, you don't have the job yet, but, you know,
you're on a job hunt.
Yeah, you're on a job hunt, and you should be able to make some pretty good money. You know, for an individual in a Chapter 7, it's about $60,000 a year. But, you know, you're hoping that you're going to get a job for more than that, like $70,000, $80,000 a year. But right now, you got a ton of bills because you've been out of work for a long time. But, you know, you're hoping that down the road, you're going to get this other. You don't have that job yet because you do got a list on your schedule, you know, anticipated income. So if you got a job like starting tomorrow, and you say, like, I'm broke, you got to at least list the fact that
you've got a job coming. Yeah.
You got big money coming so that the trustee can see it. But let's just say that you're planning on getting a job. You got the skill sets and the resume to get that job, but you're just not making that money yet. Now might be the time to file. And a lot of people find themselves in that position that, you know, they've had a cold winter and a long year of pandemic, but they're saying, you know, there's hope that spring's eternal. And, I'm going to get a better job, but I got all these other debts. I don't want to take those with me. So that might be the time to do that. Kind of a related, maybe somewhere between 6 and 7 is you're getting ready to get married.
Oh, a life change.
Life change, yeah. We did a segment on that not too long ago that it might be a good time to get rid of those bills so you don't bring them into your family.
Yes, at least discuss it with your future spouse.
Yeah, so people trying to get a fresh start, they don't want to bring additional stuff into that relationship. That might be a good reason, too. I didn't have that on my list, but I just I thought about that as we talked about it.
Well, it's almost wedding season, and I just was mentioning at the top of the show that weddings are starting to happen again.
I've had a couple people come in and say, can you rush this thing?
People have put off getting married. Some people have put off their weddings because they wanted to wait to be able to have family and friends there. And so, yes, we're coming up on that for sure.
And so the last issue, and this is one that you got to be careful with about doing this without proper disclosure, is, you know, there might come a point in time where you think you might be getting some extra property. Now, I say that because if you know that you're going to get property, you're supposed to put that on your schedules. And if you do get property within 180 days after you receive it, then that's subject to that same bankruptcy process. So maybe the thought would be is that you really don't know if you're going to get something, but you hope to get something down the road, or maybe that you're planning on getting something down the road that you don't quite have it in your, you're not set to receive it yet.
You mean like an inheritance or something like that?
Maybe like an inheritance. Maybe like I don't want to say who it is, but, you know, they're not like, you know, as young as they used to be. And you're saying, I got a lot of debts. And that, you know, you're going to get this money that possibly, or this inheritance you're going to get. And that it's going to be completely ate up by your debts. Mm-hmm. Now, like I said, that the rule is if you get the stuff within 180 days, you know, you become entitled to it within 180 days after you, then it comes back into your estate. So, you know, if you don't know the date, but you know, it might get something someday, maybe it's time to think about seeing the attorney, at least discussing that matter so you can figure out what your options are. Well, that's a quick overview of some thoughts that I had as far as, you know, people that might, those are probably the big ones. There's other ones. But, you know, the collection calls, you know, there's a whole bunch of other ones in there that, that might be in there, but those are some of the big ones. Any thoughts?
No, that's good. You run down some ideas that, like, some people have not thought of before. And especially, you know, if you're going into those major decisions or you're having some of those things happen, you want to pursue all the options possible for sure.
That's right. And again, that we didn't get any calls today from anybody concerning any issues, including the issues that we talked about as far as giving your life to Jesus. But you know, that as we have Passover coming up tomorrow, you know, that talked about the Passover of the death angel for all of those Israelites that had put on the lentils of their door, the door frames, you know, the blood of the lamb so that the death angel would pass over. You know, it's a wonderful picture, obviously, of Jesus. And, you know, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, his blood symbolically is put over the lintels or the doorpost of our heart. And so it's just a reminder that, you know, there's some really important things happening spiritually right now, that we have Passover, we have Resurrection Sunday, I like to call it, Easter coming up in about a week. Now's the time to go ahead and really examine, you know, if you want a fresh start, start with that. You know, that the financial issues will take care of themselves. You know, make your first priority. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. So, you know, get your house right, and then everything will turn out right for
all
you.
All falls into place.
Last thoughts, and then I'll close with a quick prayer.
Well, that's good. Thank you for sharing. Okay.
Well, God bless you all. Let me pray with you. Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this time of the year that we can reflect on what you did for us at Calvary. I pray, Father, for that person that doesn't know you personally, that they would recognize that you're the best decision that any of us could make. Lord, that we love you and we praise you. And I pray for these folks that are listening today. Give them a great weekend and help us draw closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Biblical Solutions for Financial Freedom. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. for more Christ-centered solutions to financial problems.